I'm going to be reading in your Bibles from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13 says, "These all died in faith." These all died in faith. I suppose there are other ways to die. Because it sounds like he's saying this is an unusual death. These all died in faith. People all over the world for thousands of years have died some other way. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Talking about the people that are listed out here as examples of faith in the Bible, starting with Abel. Then he mentions Enoch, who did not die at all. So if you're looking for a contradiction in the Bible, there you go. Gave you one for free. If you don't want to believe it, you can find your reasons not to believe it. But what he's talking about here is Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Noah and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. Mentions them. And then after that, a whole lot more people are mentioned. And he says, these all died in faith. And I can say I would recommend that you die in faith.
Amen.
Because there are other ways to die. Most people die in ignorance. And there's a difference between faith and ignorance. I mean, they have faith in something, but they're ignorant of God's promises. They're ignorant of God's Word. This is the vast majority of people throughout history since forever. They did not know what God had promised. They did not know the provision God had. I can hear somebody saying, well, that doesn't seem fair. And I'm not here to justify God. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'll let God justify Himself. He'll tell you all His reasons in His day. And you're going to get a chance to meet Him. And if you've got questions, you go ahead and ask Him. I have a feeling you'll fall down very unclean and feel like you need God to have some mercy on you. And maybe you'll say, God, whatever you say. And I know how people get when they get around God. Something changes in their mind. They all of a sudden aren't nearly as brave as they used to be. Most people have died in ignorance. But I tell you, I know people who aren't ignorant and yet they insist on dying in their sin. And that's not the same as dying in faith. Because God has called you to repent. He's called you to say, God, you're right,
amen,
and I'm wrong. He's called you to say, God, I messed up. He's called you to come to Him and say, oh Lord, what have I done? You say, well, I don't want to get into all that emotional stuff. Listen, if you ever saw your sin like God sees it, you'd get a little emotional about it.
Amen.
You might get brokenhearted over it. You'd be like Isaiah, who finally saw God. And he said, oh Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't do anything for you, Lord. I'm just not clean. And that's the way God is. God is holy and righteous. But you know, some people are just defiant in their sin. They have a distaste for the Bible. They're unrepentant. They're self-justifying. Have you ever noticed how people will justify doing what God said not to do? God said, be not drunk. But every drunk has a reason for what he's doing. They all got a reason. They've got a way to justify it. They'll say, I'm not like those others. I'm something else. And have you noticed that drunks will say, well, I'm not an adulterer. And adulterers will say, well, at least I'm not a drunk. They live all their lives serving wealth, serving accumulation of stuff that they're going to lose. I can't help but believe that if they would just stop and think, that they would actually change their minds about what they think is important. I think about this owner of the football team up there. He's like 80-something years old, and every time I see him, he's talking about his ambitions for making a little bit more. And I'm thinking, You're 80 years old. You might ought to start preparing for something else. And you might ought to also. You know, maybe you ought to plan your life out and say, okay, I might start looking at the end game now. You'd think someone who's old would say, you know, I got to get right with God. But that's not the way it works. That's why I'm warning you young folks. Don't you be putting off getting right with God, because something happens as you get older and your heart gets seared like with a hot iron. And then you don't want to repent. Or you couldn't if you tried. You couldn't muster a tear over your sins if you tried. And why? Because you've said no too many times. God said come, you said no. God said repent, you said no. And you do that too many times and you lose the ability to do it. And so they get down to a certain point and they die in their sin. And Jesus said, you don't want to do that. You don't want to die in your sin. Because everybody's accountable to God. You know, some people die in defiance. Die in defiance. They do have that distaste for the Bible. They can't stand the Bible. And maybe it's because there are a lot of religious people out there that give a bad name to the Bible. Bad name to faith, and a bad name to God, and a bad name to Jesus Christ, and a bad name to the church, because they call themselves Christians, but boy, you can't tell the difference. It doesn't really mean anything to be a Christian. Go to church once in a while, feel good, you get warmed up when you go to church, and you know, the pastor pats you on the back and says you're a great guy, and whatever, and you start feeling good, and you think you're a Christian, but you don't change anything in your life. You're living in defiance. How about those folks that just don't believe no matter how desperate their lives become? Have no thanks to give to God. Even some of them deny He even exists. Now, I don't know how you can deny that He exists. I think you can prove He exists with a calculator. Yeah, I think you can prove God exists with a calculator. I'm not exaggerating. That's the way it is. But you know, if you know that God exists, why would you be defiant to Him? Why would you say, I will not, I do not want that, I won't live like that for any reason. Whatever God says, I'm not going to do that. But there are people like that, and that's how they die. They're going to go all the... You know, I talked to some atheists, and they insist that they are not going to have any regrets when they get down to the last days, and they're getting ready to draw their last breath, and they're saying, no, I'm going to be strong all the way to the end. And they do it. Strong all the way to the end. I just want to recommend to you a different way to die. Because there's an awful lot of people out there that are dying the wrong way. These folks died in faith. Wow. You know, some people die in religion. I'd say probably most people do. They die in religion. That is, they're going to follow that convenient belief system that doesn't cause them to make any decision on their own, to change anything about their parents' traditions or whatever. They're not going to cause any problems. And they feel like they're just being faithful to God or being faithful to their religion or what have you. And they are. Tradition of their parents. And you don't realize how self-serving an attitude that is, where you don't require any sacrifice on your part or any personal accountability toward God and toward the Bible on your part. So you just say, I'm going to follow my religion no matter what. I've had people tell me, I will not change my religion no matter what. I know what the Bible says. You're right. That's what the Bible says. But I'm not changing my religion. My parents taught me this, and I'm not going to change. And so you will die in your religion. But religion can't save anyone. Everybody's religious, and it means absolutely nothing. In fact, if it weren't for my compelling faith in the Bible, I'd have nothing to do with religion at all. Because it's so full of junk and hypocrisy and wickedness. It's so full of lies. It's so full of habit-wearing clergy that really want your money. I'm not trying to put anybody down here, folks. I'm just telling you a straight-up truth. I'm also not trying to make you like me. Here's the point. You get a religious leader, and he could be leading you wrong for the wrong reasons. For his own reasons. And so if you decide, I'm going to follow my religion no matter what, you're liable to lose your soul. Jesus warned you about this more than anybody else. And that's why He said, I'm going to read in Matthew 10, He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Maybe you think that's really not in the Bible. It can't be. I had a lady tell me, well, that's not in my Bible. So we had to go get her Bible and open it up and show her. It's in Matthew chapter 10. You can go home and read it. Jesus Christ did not come to bring unity to families. He came to save sinners out of lost families. And what He wants to do is save you. He wants you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to die in faith? You see, faith is believing and following the Bible. We're talking about a specific faith. A faith in a specific person. And faith in a specific provision. And faith in a specific promise. And that's the only kind of faith that will save you. This general idea that I just have a lot of faith, that's not going to save you. You see, because you can have faith in the wrong thing and you'll lose your soul. There was a fellow up there in Chicago that had faith in a bottle of Tylenol that he bought. And he had a headache, he took some Tylenol and he died. Somebody had poisoned it. They didn't know he had poisoned it. And they didn't know until the funeral a few days later when his wife got a headache and went and took the same bottle of pills and took her and then she died. And then somebody realized something's wrong with that bottle of pills. Tell him I'll come back. I'll get him in a little while. It's not because they didn't have faith. They had faith in that Tylenol. It was just the wrong stuff. You can have faith in a certain religious leader and he'll lead you wrong. You can have faith in all kinds of things. You can have faith in green men from Mars and it's not going to save you. You can have faith in your religion and it will not save you. The only thing that will save you is faith in what God says about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, this is the record we have. This is the record God has given us of His Son. And you have to believe that record. Faith in a specific person, our God, who came in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived His life here on earth fulfilling the law and all its demands, and then died on the cross and rose again on the third day. Faith in that God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Faith in a certain provision, a very specific provision, that what Jesus Christ did on the cross was not because He was weak and He couldn't defend Himself. It was not because he had some difficulty getting out of that scrape. Not because He had a political ambition that got Him crossed on the wrong side of things and they killed Him. He died to save you. He died to pay the debt of your sins. The Bible says He gave His life a ransom for many. Faith in a specific person, faith in a specific provision, and faith in a specific promise. You don't have the right to make up stuff that God said. You can't say, well, my concept of God is this or that or some other thing. You don't get that. You have to take what God actually said in the Bible, and you have to take that word for word, and you have to say, God, I claim this promise.
Amen.
This one right here. And you need to make sure your name is in there. Like where He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever. You know what whosoever means, right? That means you. And you can point with your finger to that promise in the Bible and say, God, You said. You said, if any man believe in Me, he has everlasting life. You said that. Any man. You said that my sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. You take these promises, specific statements that Jesus Christ made to you, and you point your finger at them and say, God, You said this, and I'm claiming this.
Amen.
That's faith. That's the faith he's talking about. These all died in faith. I can tell you, my mom died in faith. She was counting on those promises. She could have pointed them to you. She could have opened up the Bible and shown them to you like she did many, many times to many people. Point to them and say, there's what it says. It's faith in God's Word. It's faith in what God promised. And that's the faith that saves a soul.
Amen.
Nothing else will save a soul. But that faith will. When you die in faith, you die in peace. Peace with God. No fear. Seriously, no fear of death. No fear of the unknown. No fear of the judgment. No fear of hell. No fear of God's angry wrath. And why? Because you have faith in the promise that Jesus Christ said. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. You say, well, Jesus Christ is going to take my part. He's going to stand on my side. He's an advocate that I have with the Father, and he's going to intercede for me in that day, and he's going to have my salvation already taken care of. Because what he said on the cross was, it is finished. It's over. It's done. He came to take us out of our sinful ways and our eternal destiny of hell. He takes us away from that and he gives us his eternal life. He gives us a promise. And he says, I'm going to go away. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. You die in peace if you die in faith. No resentment. No bitterness. Who are you angry at? Why are you holding grudges? Do you not know that Jesus Christ forgives sinners? And can you not forgive those that have done you some wrong? It has to do with dying in peace, because you die in faith. You know, someone who dies in peace dies in contentment. That's amazing. You're not trying to make another billion.
Amen.
Who cares? Seriously. If you love the world too much, you might ought to re-examine your faith. If you're living for stuff that's right here in this world, visible stuff, that you want to accumulate and stack up in your garage so your kids can divide it later. If that's your desire in life, then you ought to reconsider your faith. Because that's not what it's about. That's not what life is about. But a person who dies in faith dies in expectation. They're thinking about the future.
Amen.
Now, people who die in all those other ways, they're thinking about the past. And yeah, we'll see the pictures and we'll be nostalgic and you can sit and think about the good times we had and whatever. But hey, listen, a person who dies in faith is not thinking about the past. We're thinking about the future.
Amen.
You see, because there is a future.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said He's going to have us all together and we're going to fellowship together. And He says, you're going to be with me. And He says, I'm going to give you eternal life and you're never going to perish. You're going to be with me forever. I don't know what all He's got going for us. I don't know what He's got planned. But I have a feeling it's going to be better than what we've had now.
Amen.
I have a feeling we're going to be more useful to Him and that endlessly forever in the future. You say, well, how does that work? Well, Jesus talked about rising again from the dead, and then He did it. He came right out of that grave. Now, some people say, well, that's just not possible. But people saw it. I had a guy, he says, well, I said, well, we have records of it. We have records of it. Where do we have records of it? I said, right there in the Bible. Well, we're outside of the Bible. Well, why would we look for records outside of the Bible? We gathered them all together, and that's why we call it the Bible. They saw Him raised again from the dead. They saw Him alive, and it changed their lives. And they went to their death in faith that there is a resurrection. This isn't the end. In fact, it's almost an insignificant beginning.
That's right.
It's almost so long what's coming, so vast what's coming, that this becomes just an insignificant blip on our beginning. Because we give our lives to Jesus Christ, and He says, I've got something better for you, and it's all in the future. The person who dies in faith dies in expectation. You know that no one can expect a good showing at the judgment because they're pretty good people. Most people feel like that if they have to go up before God, they can stand before Him and say, I'm really not that bad. And they'll compare themselves with somebody else and feel like that's good enough. But the Bible says there is nobody good enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're lost and undone. And if you really could examine yourself well, if you had the means to see your sin the way God sees it, you would not have that foolish aspiration of going to the judgment without Jesus Christ on your side.
Amen.
Having cleansed you from all sins and given you the earnest of the Holy Spirit so that you can stand before God without rebuke, blameless, before God because of what Jesus Christ has done in you. Now, I know that my mom died in faith, and that's why we aren't mourning like others might mourn. We do fully expect to see her again. In fact, I fully expect that she's listening right now. I don't know that I could prove that to you, but I'm not even going to try. I just fully expect that. I also fully expect that someday we're going to have a chance to talk to her again. Although, she'll have to wait, because we're going to want to talk to Jesus first. But we're going to have some fellowship someday, and it's a looking forward to of that day. And that's why we look forward in expectation to the day that Jesus Christ comes back to establish His rule and raise up everyone that belongs to Him. That's called the first resurrection, or the resurrection of the just. And you know, it's an amazing thing. It happens 1,000 years before the judgment. That means He already knows their name. He comes down and He calls their names, and they come out of the grave and they reign with Him for 1,000 years, and only after that's over do they have a general judgment of the dead. This is what the Bible says. Now maybe that seems a little bit incredible to you, but I believe that it's worth trusting.
Amen.
Just taking it at face value and trusting what God says.
Amen.
And if you do that, if you take the Bible, understand it well, and believe it, then when you come time to die, you die in faith. So that when we come time to die, just like my mom did, she says, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to die. Whenever God's ready to take me, I'm ready to go. And the reason why she could say that was because she had the promises memorized. She knew what it said. Have you believed those promises? I've got news for you. If you have not repented of your sins yet, you still can. If you're an old fella and you say, no, I've already spent my candle, I've already burned it on both ends, and now I've got nothing left to offer God, I got news for you. There was an old thief on the cross that died, and he had nothing to offer God. He couldn't even clasp his hands together to offer anything. But he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
He's in heaven right now.
Right.
You say, what kind of people are in heaven? Just holy people? There's some thieves in heaven. There's people like you and me, people like my mom. My mom was a good woman compared to us. Compared to me, I can guarantee you. And I know most of you in here, she was a better person than most of you. But she could not go to heaven based on her own righteousness. She needed a Savior. And if she needed a Savior, you need a Savior. And all you have to do is come to Jesus Christ just like that thief and say, I've got nothing to offer you, God, but save me anyway.
Amen.
Accept me as a sinner and I will confess you before men as my Savior.
Amen.
And if you do that, Jesus Christ says, He that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will raise him up at the last day. Now that's the essence of the gospel. If you have any question about that, I want you to know that you can talk to me. There's other people here that have a Bible. We got a lot of preachers in here. They'd be glad to take time and talk to you. We are not too busy for you if you want to talk about the salvation of your soul. You have any question about that? You say, show me the verses. I want to see the verses. I'll open the Bible and I'll show you the verses that you can trust and have the salvation of your soul so that when you come to that time to die, you can die in faith. You can die in peace, at peace with God and at peace with all. Why? Because Jesus said, whosoever. I want you to know that we are so very thankful that you came. All of you. Some of you I don't recognize, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm glad you came. I appreciate your support. I know that I speak for the whole family. We are pleased that you came to be with us and show us your support in this time. And I want you to know also that when this service is over, we have some refreshments in the back, through the foyer, all the way in the back. There's some tables and things with some refreshments, and we would love to have you stay, if you could, to fellowship some more, and maybe tell me who you are. We'd love to have that. My mom asked for a special thing. She loved the congregation. She loved congregational singing. She asked for a special thing to be sung at her funeral. It's called Psalm 100. It's actually in the Bible. And we're going to sing it. I'm going to do my best. Say what? Oh, it's also in the little... Oh, it's not? It is. It's in the inside page of your little program there. I'm going to ask you all to stand up, and in honor of my mother's request at her funeral, let's sing Psalm 100.
Amen.